Tov Samach Vov, Sif Gimel, Mishaburus of Katan Ches. So we have the case of the Sabbath as a Molly Kamach, and it was moistened from the condensation on the wall, so some said that's water. We don't deal with that like water. We say that the moisture on the walls is not machshir, it's not the equivalent of water in regards to the dinner being machmid, since it really is water and it's machmid. Now, by the case of the stone wall, we understand that it does it because a certain amount of moisture which is condensing on it, and by a wood, that's really probably because a certain amount of liquid is being expelled from inside of the tree, the car, which is made Paris. We say, well, there's probably some water in there also. Why is that? Part of the water which is coming out is not just the integral liquid of the wood, but it's the water which has been absorbed there when it rains. So eventually that water comes out. Not only while it's growing, but even after it's been cut, so it absorbs water, and eventually the water comes out. Okay, so that's why we are mad. Which means that so the. The Sheretzion brings an interesting question in Sifchat Yud Ches. What about liquid absorbed while the tree was still growing? Water, even the tree's growing, there's rain coming down. The wood absorbs a certain amount of rain. Cut it down, stick it over here, make a log cabin, and put the grain right next to it, and 3 days later it's moist from that water. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? That liquid, is that considered water? Or is that considered May Paris? So the natural sap in the tree is considered May Paris. So he brings it, the Magen Avraham says that possibly that's considered already Zeyas Achayma, which we're being machron right now. He says no. What? As long as it's alive, it's absorbing the water in. He gets a lacha that's part of the wood. It's part of the plant, so therefore, because it helps it grow, etc. So therefore, it gets a dinner may pairs. So it loses its status of water. It gets a local may pairs. Interesting. I don't know how modern science would look at that, but that's what Mishnah Berurah says. I just had a conversation recently about the halachic issue with somebody and told me modern science does not understand it like that. I said, okay, one day modern science, we get it. You know, modern science, Baruch Hashem, 10 years ago they said not like that, and they said yes like that, and they said not like that, they said yes like that. They always new discoveries. I'm not so overwhelmed by modern science, not necessarily agreeing with the way halacha looks at something. 50 years ago people were overwhelmed because the science was very, very definitive. Right now, science is so wishy-washy. Like, why is it getting so worried? This thought process, even if it's stone, metal, or glass, God will serve in an amachmitz kveperis dom. It's not the, if there was water which was absorbed in, so they say water is absorbed in, comes out afterwards, that's a problem. But the actual condensation was just developed over there because, well, there's no water absorbed in glass.
Right.
So that already is, this is the halacha, we said like the case of Heksha, that's not considered water. So over here also is not considered water. That's what it comes out that the Oisrim, according to this argument, the reason why you're Machmir is because they were, according to Yesha Kosu Thomas,
what else could it be? Really, realistically, forgetting science or whatever, I'm just saying in general, you take a hot shower and you look at the bathroom and the mirror is foggy, and if you wait a few minutes, it'll start turning wet. That's not from the water from the shower. Where else is it from?
So that we said before.
It's not from the glass.
In a case where the Zayas comes from Chayman Hevel, the Mayim Chaman, that everybody agrees that's a problem.
Not everyone agrees.
That's all smart.
So then what about the other water that you see on a stone wall? It comes from the air. From the air.
Right. So one is water.
Is that water vapor? It's from the air.
It's water that gets condensed from the air.
So it's still water, isn't it?
Right, that's what he's saying. I have a mishnah with Rav Shirin. We're going to differentiate between the water which is from just from the regular air.
Mm-hmm.
So, a case where there's clearly was hot water putting out steam, and the steam condenses.
Yeah, so that's saying is clearly water.
That's clearly water. Over here, it went through the air. It became part of the air. The water vapor becomes particles are minute enough that it's considered part of the air. Then when it condenses, it doesn't have the loch of mind. That's not. That's the chiddush you say. Mm-hmm. The first sheet is said. So now the Eish Oisrim, we have a machlokes with the problem.
Yeah.
Some said that because they hold that it is water. That's the first
thing.
Yesh Kosu Sora Zor saying no. They also agree to that Mishnah.
Yeah.
They also there is the argument that they don't disagree with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says over there that this water which condenses out of the air, it doesn't have the same property as water.
Mm-hmm.
What they're arguing is saying that since the wall itself is a certain amount of actual water which has been absorbed in the wall, which eventually is going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, according to the Yeshua. Mm-hmm. There was, according to the Yeshua Kosu Sora, there's two demands of the Yeshua. One is because it's water. So they say it's water condensing out of the air. It's good. So according to that, I don't care what it is. It's water. The Ishkos would say then you'd have to say that the Mishnah says the Gabi Hichel's tomb is not considered water. It's not Machshir. Hechshir is different. For whatever reason, Hechshir is different than Chimus. That's the first explanation of the Ishkos. The Ishkos says, no, we don't want to do that. If we have a clear Mishnah that doesn't have a din of Mayim the Gabi being Machshir, so it doesn't have a din of Mayim the Gabi being Machmas. So why is it a problem then? Because there's a certain amount of actual water when it rains gets absorbed in the wall and then eventually comes out. That's water.
So it's a mixture, you're saying.
So that's why it's a problem.
Uh-huh.
So according to this argument, if it has something which... I know there's no water absorbed inside because it's something like glass, which doesn't absorb water. So then it's just regular condensation,
mm-hmm.
which he said, according to this second shot, the second explanation of the second shot, agrees that's not nachmas. That's what he said. Now, presentation of the Shulchan Aruch is that it's mutter. So whenever the Shulchan Aruch presents it like that, it doesn't say yesh v'yesh. He says, this is the din. Some disagree. When you say this is the din, some disagree, what you're really saying is that that's the Iker Pesach, and there's a Chumra de Geshita, which is... But we should be machmir for the oisim lechatchila. Af al pi kein l'hashos l'achar pesach shoris. Therefore, like this. So use it on Pesach. We're not advising because maybe it's considered chometz. But to keep it till after Pesach. So well, if it's chometz, he raises it by Rabbi Motzei. That much will be makel and say you can keep it till after Pesach. So the other rates, if you want to use it on Pesach, is in general what happens is the moist flour clumps together, and when you sift it, that will be sifted out. That will stay up above and won't come through. Only the fine flour particles will fall through. Okay, so that's which is going to be the suggestion that the Shulchan Aruch is going to give in the next step. So we'll use the same solution. Okay. So now there's a long short scene in Chav Beis. He says, we'll see in the next episode, we don't rely on this idea of doing sifting. He says, that's over there when it's invalid, he had din of chometz. But over here, it's only a chumra whether it's a din of chometz. It's more like it. We said, the Iker Pesach does not have a din of chometz. So if the Iker Pesach doesn't have a din of chometz, well, then it'll be, I'll be machmer, then I'll be makel to rely in my chumra, and rikud is enough. If water fell onto the flower, on Pesach itself, the back got wet. So we assume that probably the moisture got into the bag. It got into the flower. So Yerchus b'yadu kol hamokam hamaluchul b'sak, atchiyorik kol kemosh b'sak. Put your hand over that spot and hold it tight, then pour the rest out. So the rest out is not wet. Whatever pours out is not wet. Where your hand is holding is the area which came wet. Okay. V'miyef shalasas. Okay. If that it was a few different places which got wet, so you know, it doesn't have enough hands to hold all the places. Something of that sort. Practically, that wasn't a practical solution. Yirakad akemach v'shar motzim. So do rikud, and whenever we assume whatever is wet, will clump and not go through the sifter, and the fine flour which goes through is not chometz. V'davka kol zman shehu meluchloch. That's only true. When it's still wet. So then when it's still wet, we say, okay, so the nature is it's going to clump and not go through. But once it's dried, then it's chometz. So it's not going to go through. It's dried, so then it might go through, even though that was something which became chometz, because the moisture is not holding it together anymore. But meanwhile, it had been wet, and it was nischametz. The mifrach, the little pieces of the mechumetz thick of flour will break off from the clump into smaller pieces, and when we sar v'mashar, it mixes with the rest of the flour. Therefore, also lochel pesach, you can't eat this flour in pesach. But we will allow you to do the following: yirakdenu v'yishmenu ad la'achar pesach. We will lie on rikud, or we will tell you to remove any chametz which is there. Because I do rikud, whatever will stay above is what we assume those chametz. So that is at least that much you can accomplish, that you'll put beer on the chametz, you'll be rocking it out and burn it. So you do rikud on the flour.
What is that referring to? Is that still referring to if it's in the ziyavish?
It's going to case of this yavish.
So, what he's saying is, if I'm understanding it right, if it's dry, rikud doesn't help, and you're not allowed to eat it on Pesach, so you're supposed to sift it. But the rikud doesn't help. So why are you sifting it?
It doesn't help because I can't rely on the fact that all of the chametz was removed.
Right.
I don't rikud, but I can't assume that a certain amount of chametz I will remove. As much as possible, I can do beer. If I do rikud, I'll end up with flour in the sifter, which I will burn. Because the larger pieces which are clumped, so I'm doing an act of removing the chametz from the mixture, thereby allowing myself a way to do beer chametz on that chametz. And I'll burn it.
But once it's dry, it's all
going to
go through.
So I guess I think that the language is going to be the mifrach. It crumbles, so it doesn't have to crumble. It might crumble. Some will stay clumped together. Some will fall apart. V'im nisyabash haPesach osal haShoyseh. If the case was, if it happened before Pesach, so whatever remains, so whatever I can remove, I remove. Whatever remains, I'll say this is the bittul. But if it happened on Pesach, so then I have a problem that it's Pesach to be mashu. So if it's b'mashahu, there's no way to. So then the whole thing is I have to get rid of. So the Mishnah Berurah will talk about. We have this idea before that by alach b'alach we say it's bottle remains bottle and pesos, and the yavish we say it's chayzav neir. So how do we deal with flour? We deal with flour. The Mishnah Berurah is going to say it's alach b'alach because the art between alach b'alach and yavish is. The Yavash Yavash is clearly distinct items, and Lach B'Lach, it all mixes together. So flour, because it's so fine, is that with the equivalent of a Lach B'Lach. So whatever, if there be Bittul before Pesach, that Bittul will, not that you could eat it, but look at regards to the Lach of keeping it, you'd say it's bottle, and you can keep it. Okay. That's a lot of Mishnah over here. So cut and test. So the first case was so really what's going to happen like this. The first case is the case where water falls on it, and the solution is keep all of that wet to itself by holding on to it, and the rest you pour off. That's even on Pesach itself. The next case is this case which we're discussing, which dries off. With that we're saying we'll rely on some type of bittul that's only going to work for Pesach. Pesach itself, we wouldn't rely on that. So we're going to flow from even on Pesach. It's only before Pesach, back to on Pesach.
Very, very
helpful.
Okay.
The first case was saying the case where it came wet. You hold on to the where the central chomets is, and you pour the rest off. That's mukh even on Pesach. And what's left over, you burn, obviously. But the sack became wet. In mine from water. According to the second opinion, the previous sifat of Gimel, even if it got moist from the condensation on the wall, would have the same dip. If we have to assume, if the bag became wet, probably the moisture went into the flour inside. So the solution is you hold on to the place which is moist. With all of the flour which is there. So he puts his hand around the moisture and holds from the outside that spot with all of the flour inside of that spot. So he has to, if he thinks the moisture spread a little bit, you have to hold on to that. That's not you have to hold on to. And we ask him to do mat yosu. I imagine that either the mat yosu is because. I'm not sure what the mat yoser is. It's just because wherever you think it is, and then just a little more for good measure, just to make sure that you make a mistake. So if this place got wet, if the moisture spreads this much, so do this much. This way, you're guaranteed you're covered. What we're saying, the problem is if the moisture spreads this much, so the piece of flour which is right next to that, it's right next to chometz. So since it was adjacent to chometz, I don't want that flour either. Okay, maybe that flour absorbed something from the chometz. I'm not sure which way what we're worried about. I don't know whether there's a transfer. There shouldn't be really any transfer from flavor from the chometz thick of flour to the pesach thick of flour, just because they're next to each other. You might be concerned about some type of contamination, but there's no transfer of flavor. So I'm assuming it's more just for a good measure.
Is it impossible that there's when you take the clump out, there might be the stuff that's next to it might have gotten
contaminated
slightly moist.
Right. So,
and it didn't clump though, because it wasn't moist enough to clump, but it was moist enough to have a chasha. I'm mistaken.
Right. So So, okay, I mean, that's what I thought. That's really, I thought really included in the. You're supposed to hold on to the area around the moisture as much as you, that's according to your estimation. As far as you believe the moisture could have went. Oh, well, yes, and then a little more than that. So, I mean, I would have called that included in the area where they think the moisture could have went. So. Kol hamach shebashuk, nagel chachilo shebesak, all the chemach in the bag. You pour out the rest of the flour. Nagel chachilo rakah rachukah kam kein lekol chemach in ishur. Then you should do. Besides that, you should do. And now he wants you to do rikud on the chomet and the. On the chemical which remained, this way you'll be able to get that flour out and burn it. If the moisture was on the bottom, I can say asak. You close off that area on the bottom, and you pour the rest out. The moisture came in from the top. The water fell in on top. So my mahani b'mashiyeches milamala b'mokam amuluch. What does it help you hold that area? Ulai higiu hamayim b'aymek hasak k'derech mayim shetatasim b'aymek lamato. You don't know how far down it trickled. V'avshel shnis yavshu gam shom gam kein. V'avshel hakar b'mokam anechem mokam amuluch. You don't know how much moisture went down. How much even looks now dry. You don't know maybe before it was wet. So the whole thing becomes impossible to estimate. Okay, and boyfriend say, "Ain't lachol b'li rikud mitina af b'diyem." So over here, the only solution would be to do rikud. To welcome Efshad the Torah and Pesach in lachol b'zeh b'diyem and even more rikud. But maybe you could argue that before Pesach, we could rely on some level of bittul. Because again, we're taking as much as the person believed that based on the normal circumstances, how water would flow. He's mikra din to get rid of. That was the din of you estimate how far you believe the moisture went. So you're arguing that above and beyond that maybe you made a mistake and there's more. That's a chashash. That's not a mikra din. So maybe in the b'diyeva that should be moved. Okay. And maybe you could add it. Maybe there was bittul beforehand. Okay. Yod gimel. VBF shalom lasses came. Very likely to bring a person to sin. Kashni slacha mitzida it became wet many spots. I'm not sure why he moved to the side for this. Or shechil chil galam esak nislach lachar, a large area became wet. Or shazorka esak mi mokum mistama nisar became a pesoicha. Or maybe they moved it. And when they moved it, the flour shifted, so you don't know whatever was there, where it became wet, might have moved to somewhere else in the bag. So that's all the scenarios. So what you have to do is you do riku. You rock in a kemach. Mashar mut. The mokum shizachach is dabik a kemach, the place where it's moist. So that flour will clump together. Yekema isa. But that would be more like a dough, which will stay up and won't be able to go through the holes of the sifter. Whatever is able to go through the holes, we assume is not wet. The malacha of merakeh is only going to be mutter as much as you need to do for the process of echol nefesh. So now the language of the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit misleading, but the Mishnah Berurah says you can't sift on yomtiv more than you need. It sounds like you may sift on yomtiv what you need, right? That's what it sounds like. Well, we'll see you later on when you have the yomtiv. Then you can't sift on yomtiv what you need without a shinui. It's one of the malachas which could have been done before Yom Tov, which Rikun is something which can be done normally, doesn't need to be done immediately prior to the process of cooking, it's not considered part of the Echol Nefesh Malachas. So you have a Chiyuv to do it beforehand. The only thing is there's a Hetav, you didn't do it beforehand. We do allow a person for what he needs. To do it with a shinig, or alternatively, in a case a person did do Rika before Yom Tov, for whatever reason, he needed to do Rika the second time, so there he fulfilled his obligation beforehand, so then he fulfilled the Rika. But either way, the amount that you're allowed to do in those scenarios is only what you need. Now, over here, you're trying to do Rika above and beyond what you need just because you want to get rid of the Chometz. Okay, so you should have a goy do it. In order to be part of the chum. Now, what beer chumets are you going to do? You can't burn it on the yamta. So the Mishnah says, interestingly enough, in Lama Beis, that you'll take the flour and you'll throw it out, and people will walk on it in the street, etc. That process will be the equivalent of the beer chumets. If it fell in on Yom Tov, A, and B, it hasn't sat there enough time to become chametz yet. So you saw it happen, and right now it's not chametz yet. So then Yochel Liten Lenachim B'Matana, you give the goy the flour, the bag as a matana. Yes, was that Kevin Shalvis Chametz Dain. So. If you gave it to the goy before it became chometz, it becomes chometz. It's not yours anymore. It belongs to the goy. If it already became chometz, that's too late. Obviously, it wouldn't work. You can't give it. Once it's chometz, you don't have a bialus ever to give it away. Fine. In the Moshe Dishah, they point out, giving him a ton on Shabbos or Yom Tov, is normally included in the Yisra Chazal said you can't sell things on Shabbos or Yom Tov. I'm sorry? Kinyanim, right? You can't, there's an Yisra of buying and selling, so also included that is giving a matana. However, that's clear by Hichlus Yom Tov that in cases of buying and selling, of being kind of, it's for the purpose of, it's a need for Tzarech Yom Tov, it's more than just Chazal said, we don't want you coming to do, writing it down, so that we can't do it with the regular way to measure it, etc. But that's an idea of the transfer for the purpose of Shabbos or Yom Tov is more. So the Kinyan is permitted. So we're also giving away the Matana to the Goy, which is a Kinyan, would be Mutter Yom Tov in order not to be over the Veira of Bayer Obey Motzah. Okay, she should do Riku. Now, if that's only, it's still wet. So if it's still wet, we say, listen, the Riku will really remove out any flour which became moist and it's problematic. But if already dried out, so then it's too late. So you can't rely on the fact that the Riku will remove all of the problematic flour. Lamahani Riku, Teswav. Even if this all took place before Pesach, you got moist before Pesach, you did Rika before Pesach, it won't work.
Yes.
Okay. The Dafka Rika Lomahani bin Yishavish. Rika doesn't work. Awatikon Arishan, Shahizkar Machaber. Now, this Mishabur really is parallels of Mishabur's who come test. We said that the first one works on Pesach, so he's repeating it again. But the first solution, if it has not been moved, you know where it got wet, so just hold on to that area and block that area off so that the rest won't come out. The case where they didn't move it yet. You can figure out where it got wet. And that's without it, you're confident that that's the area which got wet. Shabramani, that works. Even if that happens, it's right out on Pesach. You can do that. So you hold on to the area which has become moist with wherever you believe that the moisture has spread. You block that off. You pour out the rest is water. But we still suggested that you that whatever was left over, you should do rikud also to be able to move out the chametz to burn it. The mifrach. It crumbles. The ferun document crumbles into small pieces, small crumbs. And those little pieces, which are now chametz stick, can also go through the holes of the sifter, and also will get mixed in with the flour. Mixes with the flour as it comes out. Even though the chances of that minimal amount which is going to break off and join and a certain amount of the area which is wet clumped already together to the point even though it dries out it's still glued together. So that's what we're worried about. We're about little pieces breaking off. The chances are there are good chances there are shishim and the rest of the flour to be mevatalin. This all takes place for Pesach. So there's shishim. Come welcome, kashikiyu. You made Pesach. Shasur b'mashu. Yeh chosimaniyu. We say chosimaniyu. So one second. That's not fair. We said that when it comes to the lach b'lach, we don't say chosimaniyu. And we said flour mixes in the flour is considered lach balach because it mixes as well.
Why would you think otherwise?
Because the yavash yavash we hold it is chayz v'nir, and flour is not wet.
I see.
So normally yavash yavash we say that if a piece of chametz got mixed with other pieces of chametz. So even though it's both of a shishim for Pesach, it's chayz v'nir. It's also b'mashur.
Okay.
So, but by kebab we say since it mixes, so it's so fluid.
Like
it's like a liquid. The guy that did it's not chayz v'nir. So the chayav, what are we worried about over here? That's kemach b'kemach. But over here, Yeshua the Perurin, Einam is Berlim Hate b'kemach u'ba'bein avshav kaimin. These crumbs are, should I say, clumped together, became chametz. It's like a different item now. And that doesn't mix so well. And therefore, there isn't a chayz v'nir. That's one argument. Even if you use this flour to make dough, so now that already occurred, the shino problem, it shouldn't be chayz v'nir in that situation. It was both of a shishim in a dough. That's equivalent to ready v'lach b'lach mamish. It's already became totally absorbed in this greater dough around it. It's not lav dafka because it first became wet and became some clump, and then it crumbled off. That still might not mix into the dough perfectly. So it's possible it didn't chazav nira even in that situation. Okay, so. One second. So we're worried about some of the pieces are going to fall off. And now, even though there's definitely shishim. So the shard seems an interesting question. If it's definitely shishim, chametz b'mashu is rabbanan. So midraisa, it's really mutter. So you're saying, but maybe there's crumbs there, and it's also midrabbanan. It's a sabbat rabbanan. Right, so why are we machmer on this possibility of some of the rabbanim? He says that he quotes from the Nishmas Adam. He says it's common enough that if this happens, these little pieces break off, that we don't deal with it as a sof. If we deal with it as if it's a vada, that's the Sharad Sin and Lamed Sifkat Lamed Zayin. Because the Mishmur explained the case with the Rishishim. The din of chametz b'mashu and Pesach is only the rabbanon. Midraisa, even on Pesach, chametz is balta b'shishim. So that was chametz Pesach is not balta b'shishim. It's also even b'mashu is the rabbanon, and at the rabbanon we would tell you we're machmer. The curds is his kach was the curds, but if it's not body there, it's a separate rabbanon. He says no, that's not true.
Anyway, stop taking it.
If we don't do it, it's not considered a supper. It's an assumption that that's probably the reality. Let's hold it here. The reality.